We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
A very good Tuesday morning to you, Pittsburgh. You found the Cook and Joe show. Mine is Joe today. Starkey's on vacation till the end of the week. I think he's back with me Friday, but we do have a bonus. Instead of Bob Pompiani with me yesterday, Bob is with me today. Still basking in his great get over the weekend. Got an interview with Ben Roethlisberger. I think we're going to hear that interview, by the way. I believe we're also going to hear from Ben later today. He's due to meet the rest of the media, but he had a special moment for Bob Pompiani over the weekend. And Bob, we're going to play that in the next segment. But how it all came about? You were able to get him to sit down.
Yeah, Ron. Hope you had a good time at Seven Springs, by the way. Missed you up there.
It's beautiful.
I know it is. Yeah, that kind of came together, like a lot of people. I thought it'd be interesting to hear from him since it's been so long. And I think he handled the offseason quite well, quite frankly. There was a lot of stuff coming at him, and he chose not to talk about it. Sometimes the best thing you could do is just not talk about it. But eventually, you know, he knew I think he was going to have to. So, it just came together at really the last second because I thought we were approaching OTAs and – I knew eventually he had to talk this week, so came in a little bit ahead of time, which was nice, and I thought he was very good. I thought he was adamant about this whole idea of how things got out of control at the end of the year and how it really, you know, maybe was blown out of proportion to some degree because in his mind, he still has a very good relationship, or at least he tried to, with Antonio Brown. At least I'm talking about trying to do it on the field. He said they've overcome so much of this. And you know, Ron, over the years, there have been ups and downs, things like this, to the point where last year, I think it was October 5th of 2018, Antonio Brown talked about what a great Wi-Fi connection. That's just a few months ago, really, in terms of football months.
Right.
And then what happened? I don't know what happened, and yeah. I don't think he knows what happened.
Yeah, certainly wasn't blown out of proportion because Antonio was the one who wouldn't let it die.
That's what I'm talking about, blown from his point out of proportion.
He kept going and going with it, and even yesterday I guess he responded with a two-face comment. And there's just something wrong with him, there's no question. We're going to hear the whole interview about 10:25 that Bob had with Ben. Ben will speak again today, and I'm with Ben on one point. I don't know what happened either because the last game they played together was one of the best Antonio ever had.
It really was. In New Orleans,
I think he was like 14 for 180, two touchdowns. And then what happened afterwards that took him back to the Denver game that if he didn't like being criticized for running the wrong pattern. We'll talk about it. I've always said that Ben protected him so much more than calling him out because Antonio runs three or four wrong patterns a game, I've been told. So we'll hear the whole interview. It's terrific. And again, hopefully in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll hear from Ben again today, meeting with all of the local media after the Steelers OTAs. But I wanted to get your thoughts, Bob, on the Pirates 7-4 trip to start with. And I think tonight a very important game at home against Colorado. Not so much important for the team. They win, they go to 25-20. They lose, they're 24-21. Either way, but it's a big start for Chris Archer tonight. But before we talk about that, what did you think? 7-4. I wish I had predicted it, the St. Louis, Arizona, and San Diego, but I certainly didn't.
Especially after that first game. It was 17-4, and this came after a game against Texas, which they had the lead. And it wasn't that 6-2 lead in the eighth or ninth or whatever it was, and it turned out to be a 9-6 loss.
Yeah, the Grand Slam Felice gave up to Hunter Pence.
Right, and so that followed by a 17-4 bashing, and you're thinking to yourself, with all these injuries, with what they've done, they're on the road, it's going to be tough. I give them a lot of credit because they fought through it. I think Clint Hurdle deserves a lot of credit. He's been able to mix and match and do things, and I think that's very important when you have a team that's struggling with injury. He's gotten great production. I never would have thought, and I'll be the first to tell you this, because when I saw Jordan Lyles signing, I thought it was just another of a many line of reclamation projects the Pirates are trying to bring in, because it didn't cost all that much. But at $2 million, Ron, he has been the best free agent bargain of the entire season of any team. I mean, he's putting up ace-like numbers.
Oh, there's no question. And Cabrera, too. And how about Liriano? Those three guys that they brought in on the cheap that everybody kind of just said, at least I did, okay, got a couple guys, fill some roster spots. Now, you can argue Huntington missed on Gung. You can argue that he missed on Chisenhall, who he knew had a history of injuries in Cleveland. Apparently, he's doing nothing on this rehab either. I don't know where you put him. The way Reynolds is continuing to play.
Sometimes you miss time because of injury. You think you have a slot, and all of a sudden some young kid comes up and takes it away from you, and we may be watching that. I've been impressed also with Cole Tucker.
I'm not as much at the plate. He looks overmatched.
No, defensively,
to me.
I was going to say.
Defensively, he has been tremendous.
And he's not letting anything bother him, no matter what his struggles are at the plate. And I think that comes in time. But I've always liked his attitude. He's got an infectious, youthful exuberance that I think is lacking so much in sports today. A guy who just wants to go out and play, and he's not necessarily caring about anything except winning and having fun, you know. And he works hard at it, but I think the hitting will come. I just like that guy a lot. I think I would not mess with him. I'd let him discover the hitting that I think will come because he's had a pedigree in the minors.
Newman is hitting a lot better than him. I mean,
Newman was the number one pick, too.
And so. I'm just, you know, I know what price defense, and when you're built around pitching, you know, defense is huge. But when we talked earlier in the year when they were struggling, their defense was so bad. You know who's impressed me more than anybody on defense now is Josh Bell, how much better he has gotten. I'm not saying he's a Gold Glove winner by any stretch. But at the start of the year, I used to hold my breath when a ball would be hit to first base. A, would he field it? B, would he actually make a throw if he had to make it? I think while everybody's paying a lot of attention to his offense, and rightfully so, he was National League Player of the Week last week. Just an unbelievable 11-game trip. I think he had 442 with 5 home runs, 17 RBIs. But his defense, to me, has improved dramatically.
It has. And honestly, I didn't expect it to be this dramatic. And it would have been fine with me, even if it wasn't good, if this offense was what this offense is.
Yeah, you overlook his defense if he hits.
Yeah, if
like
he is this kind of, I don't care what he does.
If he can field competently with this kind of offense, what a player he's become. He's not. You know, I'm not going to say he's a finished product. 2 months is 2 months, but man, it's one of the great starts in Pirate history.
It really is. It's right up there with Willie Stargell. And we talked about this last night on the Sports Call Show, Ron, and if you had to pick your top three MVP candidates in order in the National League, mine would top with Josh Bell over Cody Bellinger and over Christian Yelich, and here's my reasoning. Because Bell has done it without the support of a lineup like the Dodgers have, which can protect. I mean, Bellinger's good, but he has people around him all hitting. It's a deep lineup. The Pirates haven't had that at all, and yet despite all that, he continues to put up numbers that lead the league in many categories.
I still might lean to Yelich. What a start he has had, too. You wondered last year he was MVP. Could he do it again? And, man, he's showing he can do it again.
Hypothetically, let me ask you this, because winning is a component that helps MVPs. If your team gets to the playoffs, typically.
No question.
Let's say this continues and Bell's numbers trump both Yelich and Peterson or
Bellinger.
And
the Pirates don't make
the playoffs, but yet it's so overwhelming that he was – without him, they'd be nothing. What would you vote?
Well, see, you've got two different hypotheticals there. You said Trump, maybe because numbers could be a little better. If you're saying overwhelmingly better, I got to go with the overwhelmingly better. If it's close and the other guy's team wins and Yelich's numbers are a little better, I'm using the team success as the dividing, as the separation point. That's just me. You know, every voter looks at it a little differently. If you use the word overwhelmingly better, that's pretty interesting.
Well, we'll find out. And if that continues, I think he's got to be in the conversation for sure. And he's doing it. What's most amazing is, and I don't remember anybody since Bobby Bonilla who hits, you know, normally switch hitters give up something when they switch to the right side. You know, and he's not. He's hitting the ball hard every which way he has a chance.
Well, this two-month period, you could argue, is as good as anybody. The two greatest in my lifetime switch hitters were Mickey Mantle, obviously, unbelievable. And Chipper Jones just went to the Hall of Fame. He was unbelievable as a switch hitter. It's a tough task to be able to do it from both sides of the plate, and Bell has shown power, shown production from both sides.
A lot of managers, and I remember, I don't know if it was Chuck Tanner, when he sees a switch hitter who doesn't necessarily do the same on the right side versus the left side, will try to make him just take one side, forget the other side.
Right.
And That's in his case, I thought originally that might happen, but not so much now. I mean, he's just as good, not as good, but he's very good right-handed.
All right, we're just getting started with Bob Pompeiani here. You can follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. You also can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates remind you to text responsibly. We've got an update coming at 10:20, and right after that, we'll hear Bob's interview from Sunday with Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. We got a great show planned for you. Thank you for being with us, Pittsburgh, on this sunny Tuesday morning. You're listening to Cook and Joe on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.